Very good. All right, I want to invite you to turn in your Bible to 1 Samuel 16. And this challenge is partly for you graduates, but it's for all of us as well. Painful to watch those videos, isn't it? You did a good job, though. If you're watching by way of Facebook, welcome. Really glad to have you with us. And we are starting a new series today that kind of piggybacks off of last Sunday. We recognize Pentecost Sunday here at our church, which is recognizing that on the 50th day after Easter, the Holy Spirit came and the church was born, and the wind has been blowing ever since. And so we're going to roll with that through the summer with this summertime series called Summertime in the Spirit. Learning to lean on our unseen helper. Anybody up for some help these days? Some spiritual help. I know I am. And our plan of attack at this point, as we gather on Sunday mornings like this, is to maybe pray for what's going on in the headlines, but to take some time to not focus on the headlines, but to focus on the Lord. That everybody, that sound like a good plan? I know a lot of us are weary and just overwhelmed by some of the things taking place in our culture, and certainly points of concern and prayer. But this time, we're gonna take and focus on the grace of God and what we have in Him, who we are in Him, so that we can be refreshed in our spirit. And so we're gonna do that emphatically for the next few weeks as we think about the third member of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We're thinking about Him. We're thinking about where we are in relationship with Him and what His presence in our lives means for us on a daily basis, practically speaking. And so you think about the moment that you accepted Jesus. I want to think about how that was a moment of empowerment for you. Recognize the guy on the screen? It's Captain America. Yeah, when he was 8 years old. It's actually our son, Sage, on the day that he got a Captain America outfit when we were still living out in California, and he proceeded to wear that thing out until he was just too big for it. But Captain America had a moment where there was an empowering. I guess all the superheroes in the mind of their creators had a point when they were filled, when they were given something special. And in the story of Captain America, I think it was set back in World War II days, and there was this idea that they needed a super soldier of some kind to combat the rise of Nazism and what have you. In fact, I think we have a clip from the Captain America movie that shows that point when Captain America, or he wasn't yet Captain America, Steve, I think is his name, when he received the serum and was empowered. Take a look.
Hear me? Is this on? Ladies and gentlemen, today we take not another step towards annihilation, but the first step on the path to peace. We begin with a series of micro injections into the subject's major muscle groups. The serum infusion will cause immediate cellular change, and then, to stimulate growth, the subject will be saturated his vital rays.
That wasn't so bad.
That was penicillin.
Serum infusion. Beginning in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Now, Mr. Stark. Stephen? Can you hear me?
It's probably too late to go to the bathroom, right?
We will proceed.
That's 10%. 20%. 30. That's 40%. Vital signs are normal. That's 50%. 60. 70. Demon! Demon!
Shut it down!
Demon!
Shut it down!
Kill the reactor, Mr. Stark! Hand it over! Kill it! Kill the reactor!
No! Don't! I can do this!
Oh my goodness, the moment of empowering, to have an opportunity to be filled and imbibed with something that would equip you to do things that are not in your normal power. Well, the idea today is that you, in the ministry of the Holy Spirit as a Christian, you do have power that perhaps you're not aware of, a power that you're not living in dependence upon. And we're going to challenge ourselves in that regard and talk about it a little bit. 1 Samuel 16, it shows an example of how the Holy Spirit came in the Old Testament. And it's different than the way it happened in the New Testament. If you looked at 1 Samuel 17, it's the wonderful and inspirational story of David and Goliath. But before you have chapter 17, you have chapter 16 where this happened. And it's kind of where David maybe receives the serum, in a sense, that would make him equipped to take on giants. And 1 Samuel 16, 1, it says, "The Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you grieve over Saul since I've rejected him from being a king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for him myself a king among his sons.'" And on down in verse 6, it says, "When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, 'Surely the Lord's anointed is before him.'" But in verse 7, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I've rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart.'" Remember that verse? Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And by the way, he's still looking on, not on your outward appearance. He's looking on your heart. "Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, 'Neither has the Lord chosen this one.'" Verse 9, "Then Jesse made Shema pass by. And he said, 'Neither has the Lord chosen this one.' And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, 'The Lord has not chosen these.' Then Samuel said to Jesse, 'Are all your sons here?' And he said, 'There remains yet the youngest, but behold, he's keeping the sheep.' And Samuel said to Jesse, 'Send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here.'" So David's the eighth pick in this draft. He wasn't first choice. He wasn't the most obvious pick. Number eight. "And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, 'Arise, anoint him, for this is he.' And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers." Notice what happens next. "And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David, from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Oh, to have the Spirit of the Lord rush upon you. See, it was a ceremony kind of like this. There was a flask of oil, kind of like this one. And for anybody like a king, a priest, or a prophet in the Old Testament times, it would be a ceremony where someone would pour oil over the head, it would run down, and it would literally be smeared onto this person to symbolize the empowering of the Holy Spirit to come upon that person's life. But in the Old Testament, it was different because the Holy Spirit came selectively. It came to the Captain America type figures. It came to the Davids. The Holy Spirit came to the Moses, to the prominent leaders that would be up in front of everybody else. The Holy Spirit came selectively, almost as an injection of power into people. The cool thing is that's not the way the Holy Spirit ministers and comes today. As we saw last week from Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and pulled those Christians together, and the Holy Spirit came to every Christian in the room. Not just to the Peters, not just to the John, not just to the key disciples. The Holy Spirit came and anointed every single Christian in the room. And the idea today is, as we begin this summer series, is this. If you are saved, you are anointed with the Holy Spirit. If you are saved, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior somewhere along in your history, in your personal story, if there was a time when you realized, I'm a sinner, I can't save myself, and because of that sin, there's a distance between me and God that I cannot gap on my own. Jesus came to this world, He died for my sins to bridge that gap, and there was a point when you placed your faith in Jesus. And you were saved. If that happened in your life at that point, as you trusted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit came into your life so that we could say, you are anointed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't come selectively, just to people on the platform, just to preachers or missionaries or deacons, just to Christian musicians. The Holy Spirit comes in a general outpouring, as clear from the day of Pentecost. So if you're saved, you're anointed. And we're going to talk about why that's significant. What about in the New Testament? Are there examples where it speaks to this idea of being anointed? Again, in the Old Testament, it was just prophets, priests, and kings. Today, it's every single believer in Jesus that's anointed. 1 John 2, there in the letter of John, he's writing to Christians. And he says in verse 20, but you have been anointed by the Holy One. There's the scriptural precedent for this idea, because for some of us, this is making us scratch our head. I didn't know I was anointed with the Holy Spirit. I thought that was just for the preachers on TV or the Christian leaders that we know about, those guys that write books and we hear their podcasts. I thought they were the ones that were anointed and especially empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's not true. That's not what you find in your Bible. In your Bible, you will find that for every person who's placed their faith in Christ, they are baptized into the Holy Spirit. They are, in every sense, anointed. If you're taking notes and you want to write down some references to check out later to back this idea up, you can look in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, Luke 4, 18, John 6:69, John 14:17, verse 26, John 15:26, John 16:13. Those are some references, not all of them, that speak to the idea that in placing your faith in Christ, you receive, as part of the amazing package of blessings and benefits, including forgiveness, an eternal destiny with God, security for your soul, wisdom, and so many other things. Included in that package is that you receive the indwelling Holy Spirit in your life. And so we can say that if you are saved, you are anointed. Warren Wiersbe, a great Bible teacher who passed away a couple years ago, many of you have read his commentaries, his books, I reference Warren Wiersbe probably every time I prepare a message. Just to, after I've read scripture, tried to understand it myself, I always reference Wiersbe just because he's such a reputable, credible expositor of God's word. He says this, commenting on 2 Corinthians 1, actually. He said, all Christians have been anointed by the Spirit. If you're a Christian, you're anointed by the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, the only persons who were anointed by God were prophets, priests, and kings, the Captain Americas, if you will. Their anointing equipped them for service. As we yield to the Spirit, He enables us to serve God and to live godly lives. Think about that phrase, though. As we yield to the Spirit, He enables us to serve God and to live godly lives. If you're saved, if you've trusted Jesus, you're anointed. It isn't just for certain individuals. I was at a gathering several months ago where there was somebody up on the platform singing, leading in worship. And it was a very, very worshipful time. And everybody, it seemed, that was singing and enjoying the moments to just focus on God with some beautiful music. And after the music was done, there was somebody else at my table that commented about one of the people up on the stage that was leading, and the lady said to me, wow, she's anointed. And I understood what she was saying and the context in which she meant it. It was just a compliment affirming this person for helping the rest of us approach the Lord with worship. But in a very real way, and looking back on it, I wish I would have said to her, so are you. Because as Christians, every single one of us has been anointed with the Holy Spirit. And that means some very specific things about us. It's not just the select few in our New Testament time. In the Old Testament, it was. Not everybody could be empowered spiritually like a David was. But God gave him that because he was going to be king. He was going to be leader, and little did he know, he was going to be squaring off against a 9-foot giant. Today, the ministry of the Holy Spirit has been more of a general outpouring on anyone and everyone who says yes to Jesus Christ. Part of what this means in general is that it should translate into confidence for you, sir. It should translate into confidence for you, ma'am. And frankly, this is probably something that the enemy doesn't want us to think about too much or dwell upon. The Holy Spirit often is kind of like our heart or our brain or our internal organs. Since we don't see them, we don't think much about them. I haven't seen my heart, the organ in my chest, pumping blood, and I hope I never have to. But I'm not dismissive of my heart. I know it's fairly vital to my existence. Same with my brain. Sometimes I believe, church, and this is an error that we need to correct, we're dismissive of the Holy Spirit simply because we can't see Him. We can't give Him a hug. He can't give us a hug. But just because you cannot see Him, don't make the mistake of being dismissive of the Holy Spirit. Because He's absolutely critical to your well-being as a follower of Jesus, to your empowerment as a follower of Jesus, and more than ever, you need that power. We can all look around and understand why. If you're saved, you're anointed. That's the bottom line. If you don't take anything else today, take that with you. And if you're like, hey, I'm still not clear what you mean by being saved, Dave, if you're not clear about that and you can't say for certain that you have been saved and you'd like to talk about it, I'm going to camp out right here after we're dismissed, right in this area. If you want to come chat about it, I'd be glad to talk to you about what it means to be saved, what it means to have a relationship with Christ, so that you can go away clear that, okay, now I'm saved, and I too am anointed with the Spirit. If you're saved, you're anointed. But what about differences that obviously exist among Christians? We can look in our church experience and we can say, well, obviously some seem more spiritual than others. Obviously, there's different levels of spiritual maturity. For some that just came to Christ, they're learning, they're growing. They don't even understand who the Holy Spirit is, how He works, and they're learning about that. There's different levels of maturity, but there's also different levels or different gifts. Paul explains it in 1 Corinthians 12. You can note this if you're taking notes. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. You say, well, you know, as I look at the church, it seems like maybe the guy up there speaking seems to be more spiritual. He seems to be more anointed than the rest of us. You know what? That's flat false. That guy up there speaking is no more anointed than you are. It just might be that God has gifted him a little differently than you, given him some spiritual gifts, which Paul elaborates on in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 and Ephesians 3 and 4. Different gifts, but same Spirit. Maybe they have a platform type gift where they're in front of people leading and teaching and doing sorts of things. Maybe your gift is behind the scenes where you're not having to be in front of people. Maybe it's the gift of helping and serving others. Okay, that's fine. That's your gift, but it doesn't mean that you are, listen, it doesn't mean you're less anointed. You following with me? If you're following with me, nod, give me a nod. These weekends wear us out, I think, with this humidity, and we're all so busy trying to get stuff done. It makes us sleepy, doesn't it? Lord, help us. My goodness. Shall we just quit right now? You guys are like, oh my, is this too heavy? As we begin this theme of summertime in the Spirit and just rolling with that idea that we started with last week from acknowledging Pentecost, there are differences, but it's the same Spirit. Yeah, we have different backgrounds. We have different personalities. Some of us are more outgoing. Some of us are more reserved. Some of us have different family experiences. And these things maybe explain why sometimes the level of spirituality is different in a church. And for some of us, you know, I might look at a guy and say, wow, he just seems really anointed compared to me. He's no more anointed than I am, but he just might be a whole lot more spiritually focused than I am. He might be a whole lot more yielded. He might be a lot more intentional about putting his sail up than I am. He's got no more of the Spirit than I do. The Spirit just has more of him than he has of me. Really important points of clarification for us as followers of Jesus. A lot of confusion and misinformation on these points. If you are saved, you are anointed, but that's not to say there aren't differences of spiritual gifts, differences in levels of spiritual commitment and focus. And that is what we see playing out a lot of times as we see disparities. But it's not disparities in the level of anointing. The Holy Spirit does not come in degrees or measurements. You don't get a gallon of Him while somebody else gets 20. He comes completely into the life of a believer. If you're saved, you're anointed. And so we think about, what does this mean? Okay, Dave, so you've made your point. If I'm saved, I'm also anointed. What difference does it make, really? And so in general, I would suggest that understanding that you're anointed with the Holy Spirit should translate into a level of confidence for you. That's my prayer, that understanding that as a believer in Jesus, it translates into you having a personal level of confidence, knowing that you are indwelled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so three implications or applications of this principle that if you're saved, you're anointed with the Holy Spirit. The first application is this. It means that you have what it takes to rise to life's challenges. Because you are anointed with the Holy Spirit as a believer, it means that you have what it takes. You got challenges? Raise your hand if you got challenges. It's all of us. Personal challenges, marital challenges, professional challenges. Because you are anointed with the Holy Spirit, whatever that challenge might be, we can say about you that you have what it takes. Say that to yourself, I have what it takes. That's one of the implications of being anointed with the Holy Spirit. It means that you have what it takes to rise to the challenge in front of you. We all are experiencing some difficult times together. And then add to those general challenges in our society, we have our own personal challenges. Some of us have been taking a hit in terms of mental health over these last couple months. Some of us are experiencing anxiety and discouragement and depression at levels that we've never known before. Some of us are dealing with that, and that's a challenge that's very real. It's our 9-foot Goliath standing in front of us, intimidating us and dogging us relentlessly. But because we can say you're anointed with the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? It means you are equipped. You have what it takes. Yes, you do. You have what it takes to rise to that challenge. Even though the enemy is doing everything he can to get in your ear and get in your head and convince you otherwise, because you are anointed with the Holy Spirit, we know that you have what it takes to rise to that challenge. We all have them. Some of you are believers, you're sincere believers in Jesus, but you are dealing with addiction of some kind. Somehow, some way, somewhere along the line, maybe it was even before you met Christ, or maybe it's been since that you've relapsed into it. You're dealing with something that is just getting the best of you. It's a life-dominating, besetting habit. And you don't know what to do with it. You've had so much defeat, recovery, defeat, whatever. You've been in that cycle, and at some point you just think, okay, it just has my number. I'm doomed here. I'm defeated, and I'm not gonna win. You know what? We could counter that with saying, because you are anointed with the Holy Spirit, you have what it takes to rise to that challenge. We're just gonna counter the enemy with truth right now. You know, some of us are dealing with chronic health issues. I know some in the room are dealing with, every morning you wake up and you're reminded, oh, I'm sick. Or maybe your sickness didn't allow you to sleep through the night. It woke you up rudely with pain or this. Some of us are dealing with chronic illness, and it's getting the best of us, and it's discouraging and it's hard. But you know what? As you look at that thing that's true about you, your anointing by the Holy Spirit has something to say about whether you can rise to that challenge or not. Because you're anointed, you can rise to that physical challenge you might have. I'm over almost 3.5 years into a devastating injury to my back, which damaged nerves, and it's still healing. I still can't run. And I want so much to be able to break out to a run, but my feet and my legs won't allow it. And every day, first thing in the morning, I'm reminded as I hobble to the bathroom that all is not right with this body. God, can I do it? Why don't I just quit? Why don't I just give up? Why don't I just forget the whole thing? Part of the answer is, Dave, you're anointed with the Holy Spirit. You have what it takes to rise to this challenge. You keep on. It's true of you, whatever your challenge, life challenge might be today. Maybe you're trying to salvage a marriage. I know these times have been stressful on relationships, including mine and ours. Because of the indwelling Holy Spirit, you have what it takes to rise to that challenge. Don't dare let the enemy convince you otherwise. You have what it takes to rise to life challenge. Secondly, you have what it takes to grow and change. You have what it takes to grow and change. Because that moment you trusted Christ as your Savior, you were at that very moment anointed with the Holy Spirit, that means that right here, right now, today, Christian, you do have what it takes to grow and to change. Nobody else got something that you didn't get. You got the same package by the grace of God, and so because of the indwelling and power of Spirit, you have what it takes to grow and change. I know a guy right now, he's a Christian man, he met the Lord a long time ago, struggles with some things like we all do, but right now, he's got to grow and change in his relationship with God. Some things must change in his life, or he's fixing to lose some things that he holds dearly. It's certain to happen. And so looking at this possibility. If I don't grow and change genuinely from the inside out, I'm fixing to lose. And so can I say to that guy, you can grow and you can change with God's help. Why? Because you're anointed by the Holy Spirit. Absolutely. You have what it takes to grow and change. Some of us sometimes pray for the Holy Spirit so that we can do this Christian life so that we can grow. You know what? Christian, you don't have to pray for the Holy Spirit. Because you already got him. He's already with you. He's on you. He's in you. He's with you. It's like me praying for a car. I don't have to ask God to give me a car. Why? Because I got two or three. He's provided two or three. I don't need to pray for a car. Same is true. I don't have to pray for the Holy Spirit. You don't have to pray for the Holy Spirit, Christian, because you already have him. You're anointed. Maybe more of the prayer should be, Lord, help me to give you more of me. I think that's the catch. Lord, help me to give you more of me because I'm holding out on you in some areas. Maybe that's the better prayer. So the implications of the truth that we're anointed when we're saved, it means that we have what it takes to rise to life's challenges. We have what it takes to grow and change. And then lastly, it means this. It means you and I have what it takes to help someone else in their relationship with God. You said, really? Isn't that just your job, Dave? No, it's you too, as a believer. Because you're anointed with the Holy Spirit, I know it might sound crazy. You're like, me? I don't know that much about the Bible, man. I'm still figuring this thing out. I still got some issues that I'm working on too. I got some stuff. We all do. But because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, because you're anointed, here's the crazy thing. It means that you, yes, you, every single person in the room that's placed their faith in Christ is able in some way to help somebody else in their relationship with God. And it's ours to embrace that. I don't know, is it your husband? Is it your children? Is it the person that you work with? Is it your uncle? Maybe it's not a whole bunch of people. Maybe it's just that one person that you cross paths with. Because you're anointed with the Holy Spirit, crazy as it sounds, you could actually be influential in helping that person become a Christian. Even with the gaps that exist as far as your Bible knowledge, even with the fact that you can't memorize scripture to save your life, even with all that stuff, because you're anointed with the Holy Spirit, God could use you to help somebody come into a relationship with God. You have what it takes. You do. If you're saved, you're anointed. You have what it takes. Captain America had his shield. Not only did he get the serum, he had the shield. And it was a bad thing when Captain America got separated from the shield. I haven't watched all these movies, but I think there's times when, like, if they could separate Captain America from his shield, then that's a problem. You don't have a shield. You haven't gotten the serum, but you have so much better than that, Christian. You're anointed with the Holy Spirit. David kills a giant in 1 Samuel 17. Changes the game. What happened in chapter 16? He's anointed and the Holy Spirit rushed upon him. That's how that happened. The same Holy Spirit came into your life. Yes, your life, the moment you trusted Christ. You have what it takes. And here's the thing. Captain America could be separated from his shield. But you know what? You're never going to be separated from the Holy Spirit. He's never going to leave you. He's going nowhere. You go to work, he's going with you. You going out to play ball, he's out there playing. He's with you as you're playing. You're doing dishes, he's doing dishes with you. You're mowing the grass, he's mowing the grass with you. Captain America could be separated from the shield, but you and I will not be separated from our helper, our guide, the one who empowers us, the Holy Spirit. And because of that, you have what it takes. Let's stand. Lord, we thank you for our time this morning. We give our response to you and ask that you'll guide us and lead us. If there's a person here this morning that's confused about where they stand with you, I pray that you would provide them with direction and clarity, please, so that they could know that they know where they stand with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is our response to the Lord this morning. You respond as he sings, as we sing.